I'd like to acknowledge my cooperators on this project, Dr. Rajan, of course, and also James Kadelankal, who's at the Oregon State University in Corvallis. Eddy covariance systems have become very popular in the last decade in terms for use in measuring the surface energy balance for applications such as carbon-related studies and also evapotranspiration studies. Part of this popularity is because that eddy covariance systems are generally considered to be a form of direct measurement of the sensible and latent heat components of the energy balance. Here's the typical kind of data that you get when you look at the energy balance measurements with eddy covariance. What we're seeing here is the sum of the steady state terms in the energy balance of latent heat, sensible heat, and soil heat flux, like Joshua talked about earlier in the session, plotted against the net radiation. And typically when you do these kind of studies for either agricultural systems or natural systems, you tend to see that the points don't lie along the one-to-one line, that there is according to the steady state representation, there's more energy going into the system than is coming out of the system. And that is, of course, the energy balance closure problem, that the slope of this relationship here isn't one. Now, of course, there's a number of possible explanations for that besides basic instrument errors. The two main commonly cited explanations for the lack of closure in the energy balance. The first one is involved with aspects involving the processing of the eddy covariance data in terms of things like detrending the data, doing coordinate rotations, also choosing the proper averaging period. There's been quite a bit published on what the proper averaging period you should be using for the eddy covariance measurements. But besides that, another possible explanation for the lack of the closure is due to terms that are normally unaccounted for in the surface energy balance. And that's actually what I'm going to concentrate this talk on today. As I say here, before we can start assessing aspects involving energy, the aspects that involve the eddy covariance data processing, we have to be sure that we're accounting for all the important terms in the surface energy balance. And so the objective of this study here was to conduct a detailed field study, and Dr. Rajan described it briefly in her talk, that involves eddy covariance measurements. These were made on a continuous cotton field where we collected a lot of additional data to evaluate other terms in the surface energy balance. This is the continuous cotton site over here located near a small town in the Texas High Plains. And you can see it's got the typical kind of setup that Dr. Sagai also described in his talk. Now this was a irrigated cotton commercial field, very large field, so we didn't have any kind of fetch problems with it. And the data I'm going to present is for about a 20-day period during the middle of the growing period when the crop was adequately watered, and also the ground cover was around 65% at that time. Here's the typical kind of instrument setup where you've got your eddy covariance system over here with the sonic anemometer and the erga. You also are measuring net radiation with a device, and then down in the soil, typically, one of the common ways is to use soil heat flux plates to measure the soil heat flux. What's important to understand is that when we're making these eddy covariance measurements, what we're measuring are the fluxes of heat into and out of this layer, actually right here, that includes the plant canopy and the air below the height of the eddy covariance system. So this is the typical kind of a steady state energy balance that we're talking about here. This is where the various components of the heat go to. Of course, we've got the net radiation coming in here, and we're making measurements here with the soil heat flux plate of the soil heat flux. We've got sensible and latent heat fluxes out the top of this layer over here measured with the eddy covariance system. Then there's also another term over here that involves conduction of heat from the plants actually down into the small, into the soil. For most agricultural crops, this is, we can essentially just assume that that's practically zero. There's an additional steady state term in this, and that actually has to do with light energy that is used to power photosynthesis in the plant canopy. And again, this is something that is often ignored, but in this result, this study here, we actually went and calculated that. So this is the steady state energy balance equation. But as we know in nature, most natural systems are rarely in a steady state. Most of them are in a transient state of energy balance. And so what I've included in the equation here are the actual transient terms in the energy balance. Typically those are what we consider to be heat storage terms, but they essentially describe the heat associated with changes in temperature of the contents of the system. For example, you can have the change in the sensible heat in the air that is between this layer here, essentially the heat storage by the air in that layer. There's also some heat associated with the storage of evaporated water within this layer here. You've got heat storage by the plant canopy itself. And then as Joshua mentioned earlier also, you have heat storage in the layer of soil above the soil heat flux plate. So you can see that the transient energy balance equation is much more complicated, and we wanted to evaluate the terms in this equation to see their relative magnitudes. In fact, in practice, when we talk about the surface energy balance, it's customary to include essentially this transient term over here that involves the heat storage in the soil layer above the measuring device here. In fact, when you go to the manuals to describe measuring soil heat flux, you'll find that in addition to the plates, they also describe measuring the changes in temperature that are associated with that. So it's been fairly well recognized that this term over here can play a significant part of the surface energy balance, but our question was, what about all those other terms in the equation? Well, what I'm going to start showing you now is results from our study where we evaluated those other transient terms in the equation. First of all, here is the steady state energy balance here plotted as previously, and in this case here, the soil heat flux does not include the heat storage term. And you can see when you do this type of balance over here, you're looking at about a 70% closure for the energy balance. But you can see that immediately when you include that soil, the storage of the heat storage in that layer of soil right above the soil heat flux plates, that you get a fairly dramatic improvement in the closure of the surface energy balance. And obviously that's why, you know, that including though that term in the surface energy balance is recommended when you're making these type of studies. So the heat storage term is obviously going to be important. Let's look at the canopy heat storage. That is the heat that's used to warm the canopy up during the day. Here you can see the blue here is the original balance without this term, and the red one is the red points are the terms when you consider the storage of heat by the plant biomass. And you can see that it makes somewhat of a difference there. Here is where you consider the heat that goes into warming the air in that layer that's below the eddy covariance system. And in this case here you can see doesn't make a whole lot of difference. And it's not because the air doesn't make a big change in temperature. It's primarily related to the fact that the heat capacity of air is very small. Here's the term, the transient term that is associated with the storage of heat in water vapor that is inside the accumulation of water vapor inside that layer of air below the eddy covariance system. Again, you can see doesn't make very much difference. And here's the term that is associated with the photosynthesis that occurs in the plant canopy. And again, you can see here that actually it does make a noticeable difference for this cotton canopy that was going along there. So to summarize the relative contributions to these different terms in the transient surface energy balance here, obviously the soil storage makes a big difference here. It accounts for a significant improvement in closure of the surface energy balance. Next, you can look at things like the photosynthesis component, and then also that heat storage in the biomass of the plant canopy. In this case here, made around 2% improvement each in the closure of the energy balance. If you look at the results from other people like Hollinger and Myers, who have worked with plant canopies such as corn, which has a much greater standing biomass, they found values for these two terms here that are about twice what I'm reporting here for this cotton crop. And then finally, the air heat storage and the sensible heat storage in the air layer and the latent heat storage in the air layer are essentially negligible. So my conclusions. When you look at the transient energy balance, although it contains theoretically a lot of terms, there's only a few that are likely to make any kind of contribution to improving the surface energy balance. And obviously the biggest term that we see contributing to closure comes from the soil heat storage term, which is what typically we all use anyway when we do our calculation of the soil heat flux. So based on the findings of this study here, we can sort of condense the transient surface energy balance down to essentially these terms here that include the steady state terms for the net radiation, the sensible and latent heat. Also, photosynthesis can make a significant contribution, a small but significant contribution. And then you can have contributions, you can have a large contribution here due to the heat storage term in the soil. And then depending on the canopy size, you can have a small but, at least for agricultural crops, a small but significant contribution that's associated with storage of heat in the plant canopy. I'd like to acknowledge the cooperation support by the Texas Alliance for Water Conservation Demonstration Project. That's where we conducted they provided the fields for conducting these studies, and acknowledge the cooperation of particularly the producers that run these fields that allow us to go in and put our instruments in these fields. Thank you. Yes.
So it looked like you still didn't get to closure, though.
No.
And what's left?
What's left is, most people would say what is left is the components that are associated with processing the eddy covariance data. Those things like proper choice of averaging time. And if you look in the literature, and normally, we've been using a 30-minute averaging time on this. If you look in the literature, you'll see many people are recommending actually using a much longer averaging time to take into account the lower frequency oscillations in the atmosphere that are associated with convective structures and things like that. So, but in this study here, there's been many people who have suggested just when you do the balance, just to take the residual and just partition it, between sensible and latent heat according to something like Bowen ratio or something like that. But before we did that, we actually wanted to look at these other terms and see, before we do that sort of artificial kind of partitioning, what is actually being accounted for in these other terms.